As the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan are ending for the United States, we have entered a difficult period of introspection and self-questioning, and the general's discussion really makes that clear. From the territorial setbacks in Iraq that pose the question of what has been accomplished in that country we invaded and occupied in 2003, to the tragic friendly fire incident that killed five U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan this week, or the prisoner swap that freed U.S. soldier Bo Bergdahl in exchange for five Afghan Taliban. These are moments that call into question what exactly we fought for or are fighting for, especially the debate over the Bergdahl exchange.
I think if the Taliban had been taking more prisoners on the scale that happened in Vietnam and World War II and Korea, you know, this process would have been more, we'd be more accustomed to it. I mean, the thing is, they've only gotten one prisoner, Bergdahl, so we just haven't confronted it till now. The Taliban commanders who were released from Guantanamo, my understanding is they were held as POWs, not as terrorists. We'd have to release them anyway. At least we got something for that. I mean, you know, it's I think the analysis of that, frankly, reflects more the divisive politics back home here than it does the reality in Afghanistan.
That's Sebastian Junger, journalist and director of the award-winning documentary Restrepo. His latest documentary, Korangal, picks up where Restrepo left off, delving into the psychological journey soldiers experience during and after war. Based on his harrowing experiences in Afghanistan, if Bergdahl had deserted his unit, as some have charged, before he was captured by the Taliban, Sebastian Junger says it certainly violated a soldierly code, but it's not really a surprise.
I don't think it was a rational response, but I think it's an understandable one, maybe. And I don't know what he did or why. And I don't even know how much combat those guys were in. The guys I was with, the platoon I was with, they were in a huge amount of combat. And the idea of leaving the outpost was, I mean, just unthinkable because it was basically suicide. So what Bergdahl did is not a rational response to threat at all. Mm. It also is a massive violation, not of the military rules and orders. It is that too, obviously. But really, it's a massive violation of the trust of your platoon mates. They count on you. You're counting on them. And, you know, even falling asleep on guard duty is absolutely unthinkable. Actually walking away from your post is an enormous betrayal.
And it is that bond of these small units in these very precarious places that is the experience of Afghanistan. Describe how that plays out in reality.
Yeah, I mean, that's the experience of war, period, from the, you know, walls of Troy on up through World War II, Vietnam, and now Afghanistan. War doesn't change that much for the foot soldier. And the only emotional and physical security that you have out there as a soldier is the fact that you're in a small group of men, 30, 40 men, who all of whom are willing to risk their lives to save you and vice versa, no matter how you feel about each other. That's what brotherhood is. Friendship, you know, what you're willing to do depends on how you feel about the person. That's what happens back home. Brotherhood is absolutely unconditional. We're in the same platoon. I will do anything to save your life and vice versa. And it's a very, very secure place to be emotionally. And I think in some ways, as these guys come home and have trouble fitting in, what's happening is even though they're physically safer, they're emotionally more vulnerable because they're no longer in that group.
Junger and his collaborator and dear friend Tim Hetherington wanted to use documentary storytelling to tell the reality of war and to steer clear of the Hollywood special effects and myth-making that deliver box office numbers. Their lessons, embedding with the 173rd Airborne Brigade in the Korangal Valley in eastern Afghanistan, taught them that war is complicated and confusing and as simple as the brother beside you that your life depends on. Junger and Hetherington faced danger unflinchingly. Hetherington, though, died in Libya in an incident that has forever changed Sebastian Junger. The making of Korangal is an homage to Hetherington and a reminder that it is the profound simplicity of the soldiers, like Brendan O'Byrne here, who are at the center of it all and who carry the war with them for the rest of their lives.
And that's the terrible thing of war. You do terrible things. Then you have to live with them afterwards. But you'd do them the same way if you had to go back. So what do? You know, it's an evil, evil, evil thing inside your body. And everyone tells you, you know, you did an honorable thing. You did all right. You're all right. You did what you had to do. And I just hate that comment. Did what you had to do. Because I didn't have to do any of it.
This is the complicated thing about war. Brendan obviously is in a certain amount of moral anguish about civilians he might have killed or just the fact that they're out there shooting at people and getting shot at. But he also misses combat tremendously. He really misses it. And a lot of those guys missed it. And when they were when they finished their deployment, it was a very, very rough deployment. They saw more combat than probably any outpost in the entire country that year. When they got back to Vicenza, Italy, where they're based, a lot of them actually told me personally, you know, we would go back tomorrow if we could. Brendan was one of those guys.
And, you know, what that statement says is, yes, they sacrifice time. Yes, they sacrifice their sort of physical vulnerability. But it's even more than that. It's their entire identity is erased and replaced by this yearning for combat and sort of inner moral turmoil about almost everything that they've done.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some of them were more thoughtful and tormented than others.
I mean, some guys were
totally fine with it, and some guys obviously completely freaked out. Brendan was a little bit in the middle. But I think somewhere the question lurks in all of them, did we do the right thing? I mean, the thing about the amazing thing about soldiers, and this must not be misused. It has to be used responsibly. But the amazing thing about soldiers is that they don't question what you tell them to do. And it's not their decision to fight or to go to war. It's the nation's decision, and they do exactly what they're told. And then they come back, and people are like, how could you do that? And like, what do you mean, how could we do that? You sent us. We just volunteered to do whatever you told us to do. It's your war. It's the nation's war, a civilian's war. We just signed up to follow orders. That's really confusing to them.
One of the things in Karangal that's really remarkable is how the absence of combat sometimes encourages soldiers to do things to make stuff happen. And here's an example of that.
I'm sure Captain Kearney's probably not going to appreciate this one, but there were a lot of times when we went out into an environment where we knew was more exposing than necessary. Pretty much, hey, let's put the food on the table and see if anybody wants to come eat.
Wow.
This is Aaron Ear, and he was a sergeant in 2nd Platoon, a really nice guy. I know him quite well. But, you know, I got to say, like, when your life's at risk, all kinds of things feel outrageous and stupid, and even if from a larger perspective they're not and they're necessary. As Brendan said at one point, he said, look, if you're a platoon in combat, you're a gear in an engine, and all you know is that you're experiencing a huge amount of torque. You don't understand what the engine is doing, and the engine needs you there as the gear, but that doesn't mean you have any understanding of the role you're playing. And, you know, there's a little bit of that in Aaron's statement.
There's two genres of filmmaking at work in conflicts dating back really to, you know, Somalia. And if we were to stack up, you know, Black Hawk Down, Lone Survivor, you know, maybe something like you know, Zero Dark 30, you know, movies that purport to tell the real story of things that we've experienced in the news, and then stack your films, Restrepo and Karangal. What is the message from the Hollywood story, and what is your message or your takeaway?
You know, I mean, I think those movies reflect the cultural myth about war as it's perpetuated by Hollywood movie making. I don't think it reflects the emotional reality of war almost at all.
I talked to a special forces guy actually a week ago about Hurt Locker, who actually was a bomb disposal guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, anything ring true? And he says, nothing except for the scene at the end where Jeremy Renner's in the supermarket.
Yeah.
And he can't figure out
right.
How many cereals there are.
I mean, you know, my memory of that movie, and I don't want to criticize another filmmaker, but, you know, my memory of that movie is that, you know, the lead character was this sort of cowboy guy that violated all the rules and took risks and all that. You know, and that's the ultimate betrayal of brotherhood, is that you do risky things that put others at risk. I mean, that guy wouldn't have made it a week acting like that.
I know how devastated you were by the loss of Tim. Did he want you to finish this film? Did you want to finish this film? What was your motivation?
You know, we didn't even get that far, really, of talking about this film. And we made Restrepo, and it was successful beyond our wildest dreams. And we went to the Oscars, and a few weeks later, he was dead in Libya in combat on an assignment that I was supposed to go on. And the last minute, I couldn't. And so I, you know, felt, among other things, extremely guilty about it. We had talked at one point about doing a three-part series for National Geographic, and they weren't interested, and then we sort of dropped the project. So this really was me being forced / asked by a mutual friend, Nick Quested, who's the executive producer, to go back into that material. I really didn't want to, just for sort of emotional reasons. I just wanted to get clear of all this stuff. And he said, listen, go back into that, all that amazing footage you guys shot. There's another movie in there. And I went back, and he was absolutely right. There was another film that would do something very different than Restrepo did.
Are you done with Afghanistan?
I'm done with war. Completely, utterly done with war. I spent 20 years covering war. I feel incredibly lucky to have had the career that I've had overseas. But after Tim got killed, all of a sudden, I just turned this corner. I mean, like within an hour, I was like, I'm done.
Well, we're glad you made it.
Thank you.
Sebastian Junger is a journalist and co-director of the award-winning documentary Restrepo. His latest documentary film is called Korangal. It's currently playing in selected theaters. You can also check out a trailer to the film by visiting our website at thetakeaway.org.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.